SinoFresh today. It works.
Bringing in a top pack. What for? Well, to clean up that big bad oil spill making its way to Texas in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, this is just plain stupid. A senator is now calling for the boycott of Major League Baseball's All-Star game in Arizona. Gee, can you guess why? Man versus animal or swamp rat? This time it's a gator. I'll dive into that. Boy, Tampa and Orlando. You think of the sad story of the trainer with the whale at SeaWorld? This story is crazy, too. We'll dive into that at the end of the hour. But right here from the get-go, the president has spoken. We told you about this. It was pretty widely known that he was going to go with Elena Kagan as his choice for the Supreme Court vacancy. And this is a legacy pick because she's young. She's 50 when it comes to how old she'll be, provided she lives a long life, and he's well retired from being the president of the United States. You know, that lives on and on in the Supreme Court justice, meaning if she's the one they pick. So Elena Kagan has never been a judge, and this is rare for the Supreme Court. It has happened in the past, but not in recent times. So she took to the podium, grabbed the mic, and here's what she said when she was made aware that she, in fact, was nominated for that Supreme Court opening.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am honored and I am humbled by this nomination and by the confidence you have shown in me. I have felt blessed to represent the United States before the Supreme Court, to walk into the highest court in this country when it is deciding its most important cases, cases that have an impact on so many people's lives. And to represent the United States there is the most thrilling and the most humbling task a lawyer can perform. My professional life has been marked by great good fortune. I clerked for a judge, Abner Mikva, who represents the best in public service. And for a justice, Thurgood Marshall, who did more to promote justice over the course of his legal career than did any lawyer in his lifetime.
All right, so here's the scoop. The story behind the story is, this is another Chicago pick, Elena Kagan knew Barack Obama when they were both at the University of Chicago. She was on the staff there in 91. She eventually went on to get tenure in 95. Obama was just a part-time lecturer between 92 and 2004, but that's also when he was then elected to the U.S. Senate. So they go back a way, certainly. There's no question about that. It's been 40 years since the Supreme Court has had a nominee that has not had the experience with the gavel being a judge. She does have, obviously, a legal background, and I've told you a little bit about this on a previous show. So that's where we begin here at the crossroads of yet another judge that will be chosen for the Supreme Court. She has to go through the laps that you go through with the confirmation hearings with the Senate, and I don't think it's going to be a layup by any means. Kate Delaney, as always, here we are on America Tonight. Remember, to the left of left or the right of right or somewhere in between, you can throw in your two cents on any of the stuff that we're talking about on this show. And all you have to do is dial the digits or shoot me your thoughts at americatonight.net. On the Kagan choice, if you have any thoughts on that, 800-259-5791. She's known to be an intellectual. You know, you can find a lot of people that will say that she was smart, that she's hardworking, she understands the law and all that sort of stuff. But there is some controversy to her, and that has to do with when she went to Harvard, what happened there. And, of course, she was upset by the don't ask, don't tell policy and was barring military recruits from making their way onto the Harvard campus. And, you know, Republicans really haven't said that they're going to try to prevent a vote on Kagan. You know, they're going to grill her, like I said, on the confirmation side of it, of course, over her experience and a very, very thin, though she does have a legal you know, legal background in the writings and whatnot, but they will look to probably open up the wound of the military policy about gays and jab her as well on the record of legal writings, too. And then you go back to the Chicago deal. It's like the Chicago mob. But that's where Barack Obama spent a good chunk of his years. So anybody connected from Chicago has a chance to make it into a bigger position. And this is another one of those old buddy, old pal, Windy City deals. So we'll see. I don't think there's going to be as much controversy with this one as with Sonia Sotomayor. I don't think so. Unless it has to do with let's kind of beef this up for this midterm elections. I don't really think it suits Republicans one way or the other. Like I said, the weak spot would be not letting the military recruits on the Harvard campus. That would be something you could open up, the lack of experience with the legal writings overall. But I don't believe anything else will come out of that, and it will be an easier confirmation, I think, than the last time around. It doesn't really change the face of the court, and that's, I guess, the big thing. It's annoying to me. It's the whole Chicago crap again, but it's not going to change what the court's makeup is. In other words, she steps in, and it's just like Justice Stevens, so the votes would pretty much be along the same lines. I would be shocked if it didn't go that way. I mean, really, really, really shocked. I feel compelled, like I need to say this at the top of the show. You know, we're always pounding you with all this doom and gloom. The top hat, that's the next thing they're bringing in for the oil spill. And, geez, you know, here we go again with a couple of other things, like the senator bagging on Arizona because it's an easy thing to do since they just happen to be hosting the All-Star game, and that just begs for Arizona, you know, for the Diamondbacks or others to speak up about the immigration policy, the new law, right? So I feel compelled at the top to give you something a little bit different. Lena Horne. Anybody know who Lena Horne is? I mean, she was revolutionary, certainly well before my time. Many of you may have actually listened to her when she was in the thick of her career. But she was definitely groundbreaker when it came to black performers. I mean, she signed a major long-term deal, as her obit was written in the New York Times, with a major studio, and went on to gain all kinds of notoriety as a singer. She died on Sunday night in Manhattan. She was 92 years old. Recently, I lost my grandfather, who was 93, and he was a jazz aficionado, and he loved Lena Horne. So I had heard a lot of Lena Horne's music because of him here and there. And, you know, she was an all-star when it came to musicals. She did a ton of them. Certainly in the 40s would probably be really her heyday time. And then, you know, you could fast forward to the 50s, too. And she did a lot of work in that era. But she always found a way to come back. She was a great comeback artist. And she was very, very present when it came to the whole, you know, USO thing. And she was very, very outspoken about the way black soldiers, rather, were treated. So Lena Horne will be missed, 92. Join us on the flip side.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you considering taking herbal supplements instead of overpriced and potentially dangerous pharmaceutical drugs, but just not sure where to start? Are you confused by the thousands of products and brands? What if you could find what you're looking for in herbal supplements from one source without the guesswork? You can at ResearchedHerbs.com. Products at ResearchedHerbs.com are backed by over 1,100 clinical trials, endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. And our products are manufactured by a family-owned company that's been around for 80 years and makes 20 billion herbal pills every year. All that means trust, safety, and assurance for you. The journey to better health begins and ends at ResearchedHerbs.com. Call us toll-free at 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486. ResearchedHerbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects. The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now get the Family Emergency Kit at KEROstove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KEROstove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KEROstove.com. Caro Stove for family emergency solutions.
We got another Memorial Day. How many of you really understand the true meaning behind Memorial Day? And then a couple of months after that, here we are again. Holy smokes, do you believe it? 4th of July. This is my favorite time of year. This sounds weird to say, but it feels like a very patriotic time to me. I can remember my mother making a big deal about the flag and teaching us more about the meaning of various things that had happened in Philadelphia, because I grew up outside of Philadelphia. And it just felt like, besides that we were getting out of school, it felt like a very special, special time to me. And probably many of you remember that Memorial Day and 4th of July are about getting together with your family and having a picnic or cookout or whatever, but there are other meanings behind this, although it's great to do the family connection thing. So who better to have back on the show than one of my favorite guests, Bill Federer. He's a nationally known speaker, to say the least, and he's president of Amerisearch, and he is a major domo when it comes to the history of all kinds of things, so we love having him on. Hey, Bill, thanks for coming back on ATN.
Kate, great to be with you.
A Memorial Day. First of all, what was behind Memorial Day when it was first started, and who thought that we should have Memorial Day?
Well, over half a million people died in the Civil War between the North and the South, 1861 to 1865. And as the war ended, with so many having died or killed in the war, The tradition began as Southern women scattered spring flowers on the graves of both the Northern and the Southern soldiers who had died during the Civil War. And this was the origin of Memorial Day, and in 1868, it was set on May 30th. It wasn't until 1968, 100 years later, that it was moved to the last Monday in May. So sometimes it's on May 30th now, and sometimes it's not. But from the Spanish-American War to World Wars I and II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, the war against Islamic terror, all the way up to the present, all who gave their lives to preserve America's freedoms are honored on Memorial Day. So Veterans Day is to honor those living and dead, but Memorial Day is a memorial. It's those that have died. And beginning in 1921, every president has placed a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier, which is guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. One of the interesting things, not just the fact that it was dedicated in 1921, but the guard, the sentry at the tomb, takes 21 steps and then turns and faces the tomb for 21 seconds and then turns and pauses for another 21 seconds and then retraces his 21 steps. And 21 being the number for the highest salute. So a 21-gun salute would be the highest salute. So 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that tomb is guarded to show respect for those who have died defending our freedoms. And inscribed on the tomb is the phrase, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." And there were soldiers placed in there from World War I, and then World War II and the Korean War, and then Ronald Reagan placed a soldier in there from the Vietnam War. But in the 1990s, there was a family that suspected that the body chosen for the Vietnam soldier was their son, and after a large amount of investigating, they got permission to do a DNA test. And so they disinterred the tomb of the unknown soldier for the Vietnam soldier. And sure enough, it was Michael Blassie who was shot down in 1972 over north or, you know, the Vietnam during the Vietnam War. He was an Air Force pilot. And lo and behold, he went to my high school, St. Louis University High School, which is the oldest high school west of the Mississippi River, and he was 10 years older than me, and so his remains were moved to the Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. So this is the second biggest cemetery after the Arlington Cemetery, but the Jefferson Barracks is where both Robert E. Lee and Ulysses S. Grant and lots of people were stationed, both before and during the Civil War. But it is a time that we remember those. Now, one of the things that I do is I put together an American Minute, and it's quotes and little sayings of things that happened throughout American history. So in 1923 is when Calvin Coolidge, who was the president, gave his Memorial Day address. And in there, Calvin Coolidge said, "There can be no peace with the forces of evil. Peace comes only through the establishment of the supremacy of the forces of good. That way lies through sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And so that is was Calvin Coolidge.
I love that Coolidge quote, by the way, too. I know it well. And, yeah, I'm glad that you pulled that out. That might have been the best thing ever said from a president as far as Memorial Day is concerned, do you think?
I think so. Now there are some others. Matter of fact, an interesting one where Bill Clinton gave a Memorial Day address in 1993. He said that the inscription on the tomb of the unknown soldier says he's known only to God, but that is only partly true. Clinton continues, "While the soldier's name is known only to God, we know a lot about him. We know he served his country, honored his community, and died for the cause of freedom. And we know that no higher praise can be assigned to any human being than those simple words, 'In the presence of those buried all around us, we ask a support of all Americans in the aid and blessing of God Almighty. And just a fascinating time that we do remember. Freedom is expensive. When you look at the history of the world and all the wars that have been fought in the last 6,000 years and the amount of freedoms that the people have had, America has more freedom than any other civilization in the last 6,000 years. And we're rapidly losing those freedoms, but we have been the recipient of it. When you look at the casualties of the wars, about, combined death, dead and wounded from the Revolutionary War was about 50,000. And then you had the Barbary Pirate Wars, where we fought the Muslims. That was the first war after our revolution. We fought the Muslims of Morocco. They had been capturing American ships. President Obama gave a speech in Cairo, and he said Morocco was the first country to recognize our country. Well, he didn't go into the details, but the details were that they were capturing our American ships and enslaving our sailors in the dungeons of Algiers, Tunis, and Tripoli.
Yeah.
And we had to send Thomas Jefferson as an ambassador over to France, and he borrowed 80,000 from the Dutch to ransom back our sailors. And but they would march him through the streets, yell at him as infidels. And finally, Jefferson arranged for John Paul Jones, who was the father of the American Navy. He arranged for him to fight the Muslims on the Black Sea for Catherine the Great of Russia. And then when Jefferson became the third president, he sent in our Marines. And that's where we get the Marine anthem, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. Bill, it's always fascinating to have you on. We learn so much. And people can go to AmericanMinute.com. You've got something up there every single day for whatever day it is, May 10th, May 11th, and so on and so forth, all the way throughout the year. Thank you so much, and you have a happy Memorial Day.
Kate, great to be with you.
Yep, always fun to have Bill on. Boy, if you didn't learn something in what he just said then, I'll tell you, I picked up a couple of things. I've been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier several times, but and I remember the deal about the Vietnam situation where it was Michael Blassie, but I didn't realize about the 21-gun salute with the 21 steps. For some reason, I don't know if I just didn't remember it or whatever, but I pulled that out of that. And the Coolidge, of course, quote from Memorial Day, I knew, and as Bill agreed, I think that's probably one of the best. So there you go. A little behind the scenes. We thought it'd be fun to preview what is really Memorial Day. I mean, we all know it, but just go a little bit deeper. You never know here on America Tonight. All right, coming up on the flip side, odds and ends. We're going to fill in some of those holes from the day. Hang around.
Nine years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TactileGear.com. All Tactile gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TactileGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TactownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TactownGear.com. Or call Tactown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Global, environmental, energy, technology. It sounds scary, doesn't it?
Well, it could be if you're a Bilderberger.
Not New World Order.
Because this amazing invention is really all about making clean energy very affordable for everyone. We call it GEAT. Now, thanks to a worldwide grassroots intervention, the suppression of GEAT is over and its inventor is free again to share it with you. Paul Pantone, inventor of the GEAT fuel processor, only has a few openings remaining for the U.S. GEAT dealership training program. You can be personally trained by Paul to become a GEAT dealer from May 17th through the 21st, or from June 21st through the 25th. For details, go to GEATinternational.com or send an email to paul@geat.nl. Do it now, because when Paul has his 100 dealers, the U.S. school will close. Go to GEETinternational.com or email paul@geat.nl.
America tonight. We move from that fascinating, I think, informative conversation with Bill Federer and what Memorial Day is all about. Maybe you take a nugget or two out of that and think about it when you're kicking back a cold one and flipping a few burgers. But this is so sad. And our satellite studio is in Texas, and not too far away in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley. It's one of those places. Just gets slammed by tornadoes. So five dead as a result of the tornado, the funnel cloud, that just ripped through parts of the southern plains and not just Oklahoma. You see the typical thing. Mobile homes are flipped, baseball-sized hail crashing through windshields. That always scares me. I hate it when they tell me it's going to hail, and then you see, you know, the weather guy tries to predict golf ball size hail, and then gradually in some parts you'll see baseball size hail. That means you get the car and yourself out of the way, but a lot of times you don't have a chance to do that. So in Oklahoma City, And they get slammed. Every couple of years they get slammed with bad stuff. In Oklahoma City, they had a couple of people that were killed. They also had 58 other people all together throughout Oklahoma City and the rest of Oklahoma that were injured as a result of a day-long onslaught. And that's the best way to describe it. From what I could see, the vortexes were everywhere of tornadoes. And it's interesting. I'm watching this show on the History Channel about the America That's Us or whatever it's called. I can't remember the title. It's about America anyway. And they just were on the part about Americans developing the plains, the railroad going through, and then ultimately what the land was like and how it became the breadbasket with the wheat and everything, but how awful it was in the beginning for the early settlers who didn't have, they had sod homes because they didn't have any wood. There was no trees. All the trees had to be hauled in on the railroads from Minnesota and Wisconsin and the Midwest, you know, other parts of the upper Midwest. So anyway, having said that, you have you've always had that. And they talked about it in that show that the people that went out there had to deal with the violent storms. And this is what you live with when you live in Nebraska, when you live in Kansas, when you live in Oklahoma. Some of you are listening to me and you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been through that kind of storm in parts of Missouri, same thing. And it is the scariest thing when you see your first funnel cloud, because that sucker can come at you like nobody's business. And I never understand. I mean, I get the fascination, but I never understand when people start to decide, I just got to see it a little bit closer, and they're trying to get pictures, because that sucker will pick you up in 2 seconds flat. And these were violent, violent, violent storms. I mean, there's twisters in Kansas, and they had been talking about this, so I guess there was warning you could say for some of the people, but I think what happens is it's like hurricanes for the people in Florida and the Gulf Coast, where they keep hearing hurricane warnings and all that stuff, and they kind of blow it off. And sometimes that happens with tornadoes, too, where they think they're just going to try to ride it out. But I saw video all day long of twisters. I couldn't believe it. I don't even know how many in the end they had. But it looked to me, I mean, no joke, it looked to me like they had dozens and dozens of these, a dozen of these funnel clouds. I mean, storm after storm and causing this damage, especially in the Oklahoma area, near Edmond, too. They had a bunch of storms up there, and you see the way these trucks get turned over. And, you know, as much as the storm prediction places, they study it. They try to figure out what it is. Do you have the right amount of wind and heat and moisture and, you know, it just for things to line up that all of a sudden you're going to see these clouds, and sometimes you just don't have enough time to get out of the way. All right, since we're in the doom and gloom department here, the top hat I was referring to when we first started the hour on America Tonight, that's what they're calling it, a top hat. It's interesting the terms that you learn as this spill continues in the Gulf, because it's a lot of people, seriously, brainstorming over what to do. When I woke up, and I got a text about this, that the National Guard, they were doing whatever they could with sandbags because they were trying to come up with some kind of a barrier. And that's what I thought about. I thought, isn't there a way you could put something in front of that that might do something against the oil? So they did try to do that with the sandbags, but you're only going to be so effective there. Now BP got permission from the Environmental Protection Agency, right? And they started pumping dispersant early on Monday on the main leak. That main leak is a mile below sea level. So it's sprayed by a remote-controlled sub, and it's never been done before that far down, before this spill, so they don't know what it'll do to the environment. That's why they had to get the EPA to sign off of it, because they just don't know. As much as they've tested things, there's no way to know what the effect will be. But trying to plug this well or siphon off the crude, they've talked about a 5-foot-tall containment box. and that containment box is the top hat. And injecting debris, including shredded rubber, into the well to try to stop it up like you would a bathtub. That's kind of the philosophy. And they called it a junk shot, trying to figure out, let's get these shredded tires in there because we got to do something. And the top hat is a kind of what they're talking about is how do you keep some of the water out while you're doing that? So the top hat is like a smaller dome than the chamber that they tried over the weekend. And it has the ability to inject methanol into the top of it so you wouldn't get those hydrates that were forming. That's what happened originally to the dome that they put on. The crystals that started to form, and it was blocking the oil from being siphoned up. I mean, they just have to keep creating this playbook every bloody day. That's what it is. And they have to get the best people that can think on their feet. And you know how engineers are. They like to, maybe some of you are engineers. You know how you are. You like to finagle with the problems forever, but there's no forever here. It's, you know, throw the spaghetti on the wall and take all the knowledge you have and let's just figure out what we have to do here. Now, this top hat thing that they're talking about is going to be ready to roll on Thursday. So far, the spill has cost $350 million, and that's nothing. I mean, in the end, when you talk about relief well drilling, the Gulf Coast states, the payments you'll have to have there, all that stuff, I mean, who knows what it's going to be. It's going to be much, much higher than that. It's for certain it's going to be in the B's, the billions. How many billions, you know, I don't know. But to me, the concern is, screw BP, no offense. I don't care what they get hit with. It's what happens to the beaches. What happens with these junk shots and that they were trying to try to seal up the leak? What happens with this top hat? You know, what is it that ultimately could contain this before it turns in a different direction, perhaps goes to the direction of Florida and all of those beaches that would ultimately be ruined? You know what you do? There's an island called Dauphine Island, and it's 3 miles off of the mainland of Alabama. It's pretty much the mouth of Mobile Bay. And already what they've seen there is what I talked about on the last show, golf ball-sized balls of tar washing up on the shore. Uh-huh. And that means forget about it. You're not swimming there. You're not doing anything over there. And if you are, you've got to wash yourself off with baby oil to try to get that off of the bottom of your feet. So there's not going to be people swimming there anyway. And then it becomes a question of what happens, because they can't cap the leak right now, with these commercial fishermen. What happens with them? The answer is they're sidelined. And maybe they're going to be mowing lawns, I mean, seriously, or doing something else. Because if it continues, which is what it's looking like, we're going into what now? We're 3.5 weeks. As it keeps going further down the road, I think the 3-mark number is not so ridiculous. It'll take 3 months, perhaps, to have this whole thing sealed off. And by then, who knows what damage has been done? I mean, who knows? I mean, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, does this not point out the need for better regulation? I know I made the comparison on a previous America Tonight. You look at the mines, and we're always so horrified. Oh, that's horrible, the people killed, and it is. It's wrong. It was during a shift change. There were things that could have been done. Maybe that wouldn't have happened. Why aren't there better regulations? BP could certainly pay. I mean, they're making nothing but dough with what they're pumping out. And if you had stricter regulations, they would certainly put those back up. If they had to do it, they would have those backup procedures already in play. That's the answer. Because they wouldn't get the leases, they wouldn't be able to do it. So drill, baby, drill would be fine if there had been some backup. Sure, you can still have accidents with... Makes you sleep better when you know there's a backup, doesn't it? What do you say, America? Am I all wet on this one? 800-259-5791. Back in three.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today. Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions' natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff.
New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more.
All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Updates on what's happening in Arizona since they put the toughest immigration law into play in the land. That's coming up in a few minutes here. But first, great, fair, or foul. I saw this today, and I've been eagle-eyeing this since forever, I think, since I've been on the air. And anyway, the latest deal, as far as the Roman Catholic Church is concerned, with these sex abuse scandals in Europe and moving beyond that even, is that more bishops are starting to just resign for not protecting the kids that were in their charge than throughout what's happened in the U.S. In the U.S., man, they dig their heels in. I'm not going anywhere. The American bishops have apologized to victims, they say, and spent a ton of money on child protection since 2002, and also have, you know, bigger disciplinary policies, I guess. But, I mean, come on, give me a break. You still have leaders of this church who enabled the abuse, and they're not resigning. They're digging their heels in, like I said. They refuse to do that. And they're not getting punished by the church itself. In Europe, the ones who know they were complicit in this follow the ball or are stepping away. But they're not doing that in the U.S. that they don't think it's the appropriate thing to do, that a bishop wouldn't really step away unless it would be seen as in the service of something to do with the church, and Rome hasn't signaled that that's what they should do. Hey, check this out. Now, you think of Ireland, right? You got four bishops in Ireland who have resigned since the government ordered a look into the Archdiocese of Dublin. That, you know, the results that they had, they published them. And the Vatican, at this point, has only even accepted two of those resignations. The investigation they did in that country found that they shielded the you know, muckety-mucks of the church, basically shielded more than 170 sexually abusive priests from the law, you know, at all, complying at all. And you even had a fifth guy who resigned in March after a separate inquiry found that he was continuing to hide abuse claims. It's ridiculous. Hiding behind the cloth, that's what I call it. And the Catholic Church, in my opinion, will never be able to live down this PR nightmare unless the ultimate leader of the church, the Pope, takes a hard stand on this. It's one thing to sympathize with the victims, to cry, to be upset, to do whatever, to offer help, to pay off these lawsuits, but it doesn't help the people who are screwed up for the rest of their life as a result. And can you imagine finding out, I mean, it's a layup to say this, but can you imagine finding out that this could have been prevented when you're somebody who was abused by a priest under the guise of a bishop that knew they were just moving the person to another parish? It's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. And now when I'm saying this, I am sure I'm going to get bombarded by email that say that I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I'm just skewering the Catholics. But I grew up Catholic. I have a long family history going way back to Ireland of Catholicism, and I'm just speaking the truth, which we do when we talk about any other religions that are do ridiculous things, whether it's Scientology and the bonkers things that they do to people and convincing us that it's a religion when it's really science fiction, hello, or when we talk about the Muslim extremists, and you get skewered at times for that because then people don't listen to what you're saying, and they ultimately assume that you're just bashing all Muslims. So I feel completely free to talk about religion on this show, and that's why I invite any of you, if you want to chime in on fair or foul with what's happening in the Catholic Church, please do. 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net. The Catholic Church will not get over the PR nightmare until that happens, in my opinion, if the Pope continues to be silent and doesn't come out swinging. I mean, swinging, seriously. But the problem is, if you go back to the cardinal days of the Pope, if he starts to point fingers, I guess that's probably the thought. It's a fraternity. That's what it is. And what should have happened is other people in the church, other church leaders, and some have, should have stood up for these young boys. When you look at the boys and how young they were at times when they were molested, and like I said, you can never, come on guys, you can never ever make up for that. Never. There's no way. So shame on the Catholic Church for not taking a better look at this. And good for the bishops in Europe for stepping aside, realizing, hey, I screwed up. Look what happened here. I moved this guy around. I'm getting out. I'm at least going to tender my resignation, knowing that a lot of people in Europe have protested they're not standing for it. And yet in the United States, there's like this crazy protective, arm over the Catholic religion. Why can't you be outspoken? Why can't you say what you know is wrong without being bashed and lumped in to some category somebody wants to throw you into. So I'm going to say foul. Shame on those bishops who did it. They should be punished. Really, they should be punished legally if they have evidence on them. But at the very least, they should not be able to say mass, practice in any way, or have priest underneath them in the various parishes, because it's wrong. It's wrong when they know what happened and they cannot make up for what was done decade after decade after decade. All right, for something completely different, we go from religion to drugs. Remember, it was like all party time in California. We're putting this on the we're putting this to a vote about legalizing marijuana coming up. And now the whole medical marijuana thing has gone kaput. In L.A., in fact, they're going to close the pot dispensaries. They're saying forget it. The whole idea of being stoned and what it will do for you medically, yeah, we're going to say we got to close them because we think there's a little Cheech and Chong action going on here. And the dispensaries are not meeting the standards. That's apparently what's happened because it's exploding in the last couple of years. And, you know, there's television, actually a series on, I want to say, Showtime or HBO, one of them, called Weeds, where they talk, you know, it's all about drugs and all that stuff. And they did have an episode about medical marijuana, making fun of how widespread it was in L.A. specifically, and it really has become sort of, as someone described it, the wild, wild west of weed. So they're trying to shut down the dispensaries that don't comply with tougher regulations and make sure that the ones that are left standing comply. So having said that, how many people are... You know, how many people are getting screwed up by that? I mean, how many people have, one, put money into some of these clinics, and how many others are worried because they legitimately want to get the stuff, are worried about trying to find a place where they can actually get it? So some of the California cities have even banned the dispensaries. L.A. is actually one of 35 that decided to create a local law allowing them. And in 2005, when they first started to talk about it, when they first began, there were only four, you know, with this ordinance about the dispensaries, there were only four pot storefronts in L.A., and now it's, you know, well over 140. So there were shops that had like these, I can remember seeing one time when I was in L.A., had a green cross or even a marijuana leaf, and they started to really spread through neighborhoods. There was a question as to who was accessing them, and, you know, was it really people who were seriously ill and had a note from the doctor about medical marijuana, or were they just getting them pretty easily? And with that closing down, that said, boy, it just opens up the gateway just a little bit more in La La Land, doesn't it?
I'm not back in 5 minutes. Just wait longer.
Boy, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.